Today's daf is Shkolim Daf Gimel. Now we are about 20 lines from the bottom of Daf Beis Amid Beis, the two dots. B'tes Vav Boy Koyrenes Amagillah B'Krachim. Today's daf is being learned as a Chos Refuah Shalema. For Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Dvorah Bas Mecha, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Moshe Abba Ben Dvorah, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradel, Miro Bas Sarah Rivka, and Chaya Devora Basara Sprinza. Today's daf is being learned as a Chos V'Yecheskel Shraga Ben Miril, and today's daf is being learned L'Ilu Nishmas Sarah Bas Naftali Menachem, and Le'ilu Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, R'moshe Chayim. So, yesterday we began a new Mesechta Shkolim, whose primary topic is the mitzvah of Machtzis HaShekel. The mitzvah that was mandated Midai Raisa for almost every year to do, as we'll see in today's daf, which was to give a half a shekel every year towards the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. What was the money used for? It was used to buy karbonos tzibur, whether it was the tamid shel shachar, the tamid shel bein arbayim, whether it was the musafim, the special karbonos that were brought on yontif, whether it was the different menachis that were brought, the lechem aponim, etc., etc. All the karbonos tzibur were financed by the machtzis hashekel. The Mishnah said that be'echod ba'adar mashmien al hashkolim. Then on Rosh Chodesh Adar, there was a ramkol that went through Eretz Yisrael, and really not just Eretz Yisrael, but even Chutz La'aretz as well. Wherever there were Yidden living, the Yidden had to partake in the Machtzis HaShekel, and there was a hachroza that said it's time to start gathering the funds and figuring out a way to get the money to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why did the Ramkol go out on Rosh Chodesh Adar? The Gemara said, because every year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the fiscal year, as it relates to Karbanos, started all over again. Meaning, any carbon that was going to be bought from Rosh Chodesh Nisan forward had to be purchased using Machtzis HaShekel from the current year. And any remaining Machtzis HaShekel that the Beis HaMikdash had in their accounts from the previous year couldn't be used anymore for those karbonos. Now, what was it used for? We're going to see later in the Masechta. But being that Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the line that was drawn in the sand, that was the new year, and the new year's karbonos required new money, so it's for that reason we had to make sure that they had the funds to start purchasing karbanos on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So there was a 30-day buffer. Be'echad ba'adar mashmir al hashkolim. We saw one amora say that it could be the places that were really far from Eretz Yisrael. They figured out a way to start spreading the word even earlier than that, but for Rav of Klal Yisrael, for sure, it was Be'echad Be'adar Mashmir Al Hashkolim. Now, once the Mishnah mentioned Be'echad Be'adar Mashmir Al Hashkolim, so the Mishnah digressed a little bit, and literally the first line of the Masechta, we start discussing things that are really not on topic. The primary topic is Machtzis HaShekel, but we mentioned that Be'echad Be'adar Mashmir Al Hashkolim, so the Mishnah said Ve'ala Kalai. Then on Rosh Chodesh Adar, there was also a ramkol that went out and said, Yidin, go into your fields and make sure there's no kalayim in the field. It could happen sometimes. So if there's kalayim, get rid of it. And then the Mishnah continued and said, on the 15th day of Adar, Koyrenes HaMegillah B'Krakim. They used to read the Megillah in the walled cities. Umsaknes HaDrachim. They would fix the roads and the streets, and they would fix all the mikvahs that maybe went bad over the winter, and any other tzarchei rabim that had to be taken care of, they did. Not just that, they would even make sure that all the kvarim, which were important to know where they were, there had to be identifying marks. There had to be tombstones there so that Kohanim wouldn't go there, or that people that ate food b'tahira wouldn't ever bring food there. So this was also something at the end of the long winter, they had to make sure everything was in place. The Yoitz and Afal HaKalayim, and on the 15th day of Adar, they didn't just make a tumult and say that make sure Yidden that there's no kalayim in your field, but they were actually yoitzen al kalayim. They would send messengers into the field to make sure that everything was okay. So we started the daf talking about the first halacha of the Mishnah, and that is be'echod ba'adar mashmir al hashkolim. The first part of today's daf, we're going to discuss the balance of the Mishnah, and that is all the other things the Mishnah says also took place during Chodesh Adar. So the first halacha that's going to be discussed in today's daf is halacha that we're all familiar with. B'chamisha asar boy, koyrin es hamegillah b'kraken. So Purim is a very unique yontif in that it's celebrated in different places on different days. So when is Purim? It depends where you live. If you live in a city that's not mukefes chayma mi mois yeshua benon, little technical, Purim is on the 14th day of Adar. If you live in a city that is mukefes chayma, then the halacha is that Purim is on Tesvav. The Gemara Megillah, Tapez Amar Aleph, learns it from Psukim, Zmanehem, Zmanei Shozeh, like Zmanei Shozeh. There are two independent Zmanim, two independent times of when Purim is. That's why in Chutz Laretz, Purim is on Yud Aleph Adar. In Yerushalayim, it's on Tezvav Adar. In Bnei Brak, it's also on Yud Aleph Adar. It all depends on whether the city is walled, and it depends on the history of that wall. In fact, there were certain places, as we'll see in today's daf, where Chazal weren't sure. Did this city have a wall dating back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun? Did it not have a wall dating back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun? And these places, they used to prav a Purim 2 days. They would have a Purim Meshulish every year. They would have Purim on Yudalit, they would have Purim on Tezvav, because they didn't know it was a Safik. And Misafik, you're not going to not have Purim, but rather Misafik, you can end up having Purim both on Yudalit and Tezvav. So our Mishnah just threw in one halach related to Purim. It said that on the 15th day of Adar, the halach is, they used to read the Megillah in the crack. It says, the Gemara, this would seem to be not like what Rab Chelboy said. Rav Huna, in Yerushalmi terminology, that means in the name of Rav Huna, Rav, which means in the name of Rav Hashem, Rav Chiya Rav, who in Bavli is known as Rav Chiya. Regardless, our Mishnah seems to be inconsistent with something that Rav Chelboy said in the name of Rav Huna, who said in the name of Rav, who said in the name of Rav Chiya. And that is, Akol Yoitzen Barba Asar, Shuzman Kriya, so that everybody could be Yoitzen hearing the Megillah on the 14th day of Adar. Meaning, even people that live in walled cities, whose real Zman of Purim is the 15th day of Adar, but B'de'eved, if you did and heard it on the 14th day, it's going to be okay. Tainas the Gemara, our Mishnah, it's a very subtle diyek, would seem to be not like that halacha. Why? Because the Mishnah said that when did the people in the walled cities read the Megillah? On the 15th day of Adar. What's the kasha? If you're going to tell me that someone that lives in a walled city could lay in it on the 14th day of as well. So why are we saying the people in the Kraken on the 15th? Lavdafka, it could be the 14th or the 15th. So Loikain, isn't this not like what Rav Chelboy said in the name of Rav Hunu, said in the name of Rabbah, said in the name of Rav Chiya Rabbah? But the Gemara says, no, Loiboel, Lamedchash, Kol HaMitzvot, and Hagas Badashani, and Hagas Badarishan. If this was a Mishnah Masechtas Megillah, says the Gemara, would be a great Deik. You're right, the Mishnah is talking about when you're supposed to read the Megillah. If you live in a walled city, it mentions the 15th, doesn't mention the 14th. It seems to be a kasha on Rav Chiya and Amiram that felt that even someone that lives in a walled city could technically hear the Megillah on the 14th day as well. But we're not discussing Hilchas Megillah. What are we discussing? We're discussing different things that happen on different days during the month of Adar. On the Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmir, Al Hashkolim, Al Kalayim. And on the 15th day, they did other things. So we're just mentioning things that happened on the 15th day of Adar. One of the things that happened on the 15th day of Adar is people living in a walled city heard the Megillah. Now, if someone lived in the walled city heard the Megillah on the 14th, could it be Yaitza? Yeah, maybe, whatever. But that's not the point of our Mishnah. We're not learning Megillah, we're learning Masech Tishkom. So sometimes the location of a Mishnah matters, because if this Mishnah was a Masechtas Megillah, it would be a very good deal. But being that the Mishnah is a Masechtas Shkolim, so you have to understand what the Tan is thinking when he's stating this halacha. He's not discussing Hilchas Megillah, he's discussing Hilchas Tesvav Adar. So Tesvav Adar is a day that people living in the walled cities heard the Megillah. Zokta Gemara, Rab Yosef, Rav Acha, Havan Yosfin. Rab Yosef and Rav Acha were sitting together. Rab Yosef, Rav Acha. So Rab Yosef turned to Rav Acha and he said something very poshut. He said, Loi mistabra lisha avar, elo lehaba loi. What he said was that this halacha, that someone that lives in a walled city could hear the Megillah on the 14th, it means that if you heard the Megillah on the 14th day of Adar, and now it's the 15th day of Adar, you don't have to hear the Megillah anymore. Meaning, it doesn't mean lisha avar, it doesn't mean that once the 15th day of Adar passes, then if you heard it on the 14th, it's okay. It means more than that. It means if I heard it on the 14th, and now in real time it's the 15th, and I have a shiloh, should I hear the Megillah now or not? You don't have to hear the Megillah. Because once you heard it on the 14th, then l'katchila, I don't have to hear the Megillah on the 15th. So the Gemara says, how could that be the case? Fatani, makom shenagu l'kroisa shnei yamim, koyrenoisa shnei yamim. The halacha is that if you live in a city where there was a suffix, whether you're supposed to hear the Megillah on the 14th or you're supposed to hear the Megillah on the 15th. It was a suffix whether this was an open city or this was a walled city. So the halacha is that you read the Megillah on both days. What's the kasha? The kasha is, why would you read the Megillah on both days? So this is a kasha really on Rav Chiya's halacha. Just hear the Megillah on the 14th day, because b'di'evet you could be yoitz on the 14th day anyways. A bomb kasha. If you get to tell me that somebody that lives in a walled city, b'di'evet, if you heard the Megillah on the 14th, it's okay, you could be yoitz on, then why if I live in a city where it's a suffix, if it's the 14th or the 15th, do I hear the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th? But hear it on the 14th, it's b'chlal masayim mona. M'manav shach, if I hear it on the 14th, it's going to be okay. So why should I do that? So the Gemara says, Amalei, uf, anosav, arke. You should know, Rav Acha told Rav Yosef, I also hold that way. Meaning, I hold like Rav Chiya. I hold that really b'di'evet, if you heard the Megillah on the 14th, it's going to be okay. Amar Ramana. Ramana said, aye, what about the kasha? The kasha is that if you could be yoitza on the 14th day for sure, then if you have a suffix, if it's the 14th or if it's the 15th, for sure it should be the 14th. So the Gemara says, no, v'yos, I'll tell you the answer. Yos means the halach is correct, and this is the answer. Ilu ben chamisha asa shakar barba asa v'leikara b'chamisha asa shem b'shayim imlai. If somebody lives in a walled city, and he would say that I always want to hear the Megillah on the 14th, that's what I want to do. Would we listen to him? No. We would tell him, you live in a walled city, you have to hear it on the 15th. I be the evidence, if you heard it on the 14th, it's okay. That's like a shas adchak type of thing that we're going to use. But really, the katchila, this is not something we would tell a person to do. Meaning, if I have a shayla now, should I hear it on the 14th or the 15th? For sure we would tell you to do it on the 15th. Why? Because that's your ikr din. The Gemara says language. Im amarto kein ato ikris man hakrak viyotcho. Because otherwise, you're going down a very slippery slope and you're potentially being ikr the whole zman of 15th. If you're telling someone, delikatchila, I'm not sure to do it on the 14th or the 15th, yeah, go do it on the 14th. So being that for sure we would always tell a person to do it on the 15th, then maybe if you have a suffix, if you should do it on the 14th or the 15th, we can't simply say just do it on the 14th because b'di'evet the 14th for month of Shach works. No, the halach is you have to do it on the 14th and on the 15th. These are some shveres, svaras back and forth. But either way, that's what the Gemara says, that Rav Chiya, and the Gemara says that Rav Acha said the same thing, and that is, if someone lives in a walled city, even though his man to hear the Megillah is on the 15th, but if he heard it on the 15th, he's Yoitza. HaKol Yoitzin Barba Asar Shuz Man Kriyasa. Everyone could be Yoitza with the 14th. So if you live in an open city, and you hear it on the 15th, you're not Yoitza B'di'evet. If, however, you lived in a walled city, and you heard it on the 14th, then B'di'evet, you were B'Yoitza. The Gemara is a little bothered by, if that's the case, why there were certain cities that there was a Messiah where there's a suffix, whether it was the 14th or the 15th, and the Aloch and Shulchan Aruch, and this is a sugi in the Bavli and Mesachas Megillah as well, is you hear it on both days. Why do you hear it on both days? Just be Yoitz on the 14th, and that's a kasha that the Gemara is struggling with a little bit. But the halacha remains. Look, the Gemara taught me, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, mitzvahs and hagas b'adashini, all mitzvahs that we do during adashini, ain't hagas b'rishin. You only do it during adashini, you don't do adarishin. So for example, the Dalet Parshi, and the Megillah and Matanos Lavyoy and the Mishloach Manos. So these are all things that when there's two Adars, there's an Adar Rishon and an Adar Sheni. We do it during Adar Sheni. We don't do it during Adar Rishon. Chutz mi hesped v'tainus shein shavim b'zeh b'zeh. With the exception of no hespedim and no tainus, which is in play during certain days in Chodesh Adar, those halachas would be true not only during Adar Sheni, but they would be true during Adar Rishon as well. Rabbah. Rab Yirmiyah b'shem Rab. So Rabbah said the name of Rab Yirmiyah, who said in the name of Rab. Rab Simon b'shem Rab Yeshua ben Levi. And Rab Simon said this in the name of Yeshua ben Levi. Halach Rab Shimon Gamliel. The Halach is like Rab Shimon Gamliel. Again, what did Rab Shimon Gamliel say? That all the mitzvahs that are noyig during Adar Sheni are only noyig during Adar Sheni. They're not noyig during Adar Rishon, with the exception, the only halachas that are negay of both Adars is Hespid and Tainis. So again, Rabbah said in the name of Rab. Rab Simon said in the name of Shulchan Levi. The Halachas of Shem Gamliel. Rav Huna, Rabbi the Tzipoyrin. Rav Huna, who was from the city of Tzipoyrin, Amar. He said, "Hinig Rab Chanina b'Tzipoyrin kadod Rav Shem Gamliel." Meaning, not that the halacha is like Rav Shem Gamliel, but that the minig was like Rav Shem Gamliel. The Gemara makes the diak. Loi Amar Elahinig halalachla. He never said the halacha is that way. He said the minig is that way. Avol inyan shtar is. What about when it comes to writing the shtar? So somebody's writing the shtar, a legal document, and you have to date the document, and it's a question of adarishan adarish. So what should you do? Koisven Adar Rishon Rishon v'Adar Sheni Stam. So if it's Adar Rishon, you should write Adar Rishon. If it's Adar Sheni, just write Adar. Rabbi Yehuda says Adar Rishon Stam. Adar Rishon, you should write Stam. And Adar Sheni Tinyan. When it comes to Adar Sheni, that's when you should write that it's Adar Sheni. The Vilna Goyin and the Noisa Kalim over here on the side of the Gemara speak out that that last machloikas really has nothing to do with Halacha. It's more in Lashon B'nei Adam. So the question is, in halacha, what's the ikar adar? Adar rishon, adar sheni. Of course it's adar sheni. In fact, the only halachas of adar that are negay adar rishon is like Rav Shimon Gamliel said, it's hespen and tainus. But other than that, all the halachas of adar are negay adar sheni. This halacha is something else. This halacha is talking about a legal document. We are beloshim b'nei adam. If you ask a person, if you would ask somebody, what's the real chodesh adar? Is it adar rishon or adar sheni? That's a machloikis, but that's just beloshim b'nei adam. So if it was negeya, for example, hilchas nedarim, hilchas shvuos, hilchas shtarois, where it's not what the Shulchan Aruch defines as adar, but rather what people define as adar, that's where it's going to be negeya, this halacha. Just one interesting thing. So you have a very important halacha as it relates to the laws of Megillah, tucked away here in Masechta Shkolim Daf Beis Amid Beis, in Talmud Yerushalmi. And that is that even though everybody knows that the people that lived in the open cities used to hear the Megillah on Yudalit Adar, people that lived in the walled cities, from dating back to the time of Shulchan Aruch, you say the Megillah on the 15th day of Adar, but b'dievet, if someone that lives in a walled city heard the Megillah on the 14th, it's Zman Kriyasa, he's going to be Yotze. This halacha is not mentioned anywhere in Talmud Bavli. There is no reference to this in Talmud Bavli. In fact, there are chroinim that taina that there may even be rayas in the Talmud Bavli, not like that. And if that's the case, it could be, that this is a machlokes Bavli in Yerushalmi, and based on that, even though it's a Yerushalmi, and the Gemara seems to come out that that's the way it is, but it's that way in Talmud Yerushalmi, not in Bavli. And if there's a machlokes Bavli in Yerushalmi, certainly the halacha is going to be like the Talmud Bavli. So the fact that the Bavli didn't mention this halacha, and there may even be some insinuation in the Bavli that this is not the case. So it would seem, Pashit, that there's no such halacha. Lafia emes, if you live in an open city, you hear it on your Dalit, and if you live in a walled city, you hear it on Tesof. These are halacha l'maisa. So that would seem to be the Pashit. Stating that, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says that if you live in a city where there's a Sofik, like the Gemara mentioned, you're not sure if it's your Dalit or if it's Tesva. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins what we just saw. Kairim barba asa ubicham yisha asa. You read the Megillah twice, on the 14th and the 15th, says the Shulchan Aruch, however, you should only make the bracha on the Megillah once. You should make it on the 14th day, not on the 15th day. Why? Shehu zman kriya l'rova oilam. Because that's the ikar zman kriya. Says the Vilna Gaon of Bir Agra. I'll tell you another reason. You want to know why you should only make the bracha on Yudal, not on Tezvav? The af bnei krakim yoitzin b'di'evit b'yudal. Because even the Bnei Krakim are Yotze B'di'evet on your Dalit. So your Dalit is for sure as man that you could be Yotze. Why do we do it a second time then on Tezvav? It was the Gemara's Kash and the Yerushalmi. The Gemara said a shtickle teretz, not an easy teretz. But the Gemara said a teretz. But at the end of the day, says the Vilna Goy in a comment in Bir Agra to Halacha that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that someone that lives in a krach, B'di'evet is Yotze on your Dalit. So it would seem that this Halacha of the Yerushalmi, like the Vilna Goy, is actually something that's brought down in the Halacha. So the Mishnah, as it was going through the different things that were taken care of in Chodesh Adar, so the Mishnah said that Masakin es Adrochin, Ves Arachoivois, Ves Mikvois Amayim, Veoisin Kol Tzorche Arabim, Umitzainin es Hakvoros. Zog Digimor. Elin Tzorche Arabim. So what are examples of Tzorche Arabim? Don Adin Momenes Vedin and Nefashos. So if there were any open cases that Bezdin hadn't taken care of, so this was the time that they did it. So sometimes things lag, things get schlepped. So there could be Dine Momenes, even Dine Nefashos, where Bezdin has some business that they have to attend to. So at the end of the year, Soif Zman, this is when Bezdin sat down and they said, all right, we have a whole bunch of things on our docket and we have to make sure we take care of it. Dine Makis, or maybe someone had to get Makis, who put in Aroch in the Charom and Vektesh, different halachas related to Erechin and Cherim and Hektish, if they had to redeem it, if they had to collect it, whatever it is, these were things they took care of. Mashkin es HaSoita. What if there was a Soita that hadn't drank yet the May Soita? It's a good time to do it. V'sarfen es HaPara. Let's make sure we have a Para Aduma. V'arfen Egla Rufa. If there was an Egla Rufa that was outstanding. V'roitz an Evadivri. Maybe there was an Evadivri that had to be a Nirtza. U'matarin es HaMetzayr. That'd be Matar HaTzayr. U'mefarkin es HaMinu Me'agabi Yamayim. There were certain holes in the ground where water would collect, and sometimes they would cover it during the winter. So like this, during the summer season when it doesn't rain anymore, they would have water. So they would remove all those covers, and they wouldn't bring it back until the winter time. The bottom line is you see from here something very interesting, that sometimes Bezdin got backed up, and sometimes there were things that you would have thought would have been attended to ASAP, that were mamish outstanding for a very long time. This Suffolk site is waiting to drink the May site. What? Like, why isn't it being taken care of? You have an Eved Ivri, that's a Nirtza, right? That Rashi doesn't say anything in Parshas Mishpatim, in all the halachas of Nirtza. So you have Dinim, there's an Eglarut, oh, we'll get to it when? You would think that these were things that immediately, but sometimes Bezdin got backed up. That's what you see from this halacha. So in the Mishnah saying that they had to take care of the Tzarchei Rabim at the end of the year, so there's a little rest of the story really tucked away. And that is sometimes Bezdin couldn't address very important things at the time they did. Tyrus HaMetzayra, that's also an interesting one. He have a Metzayra, he's Tomei, he's Bodod Yeshev, he's Asa B'Tashmash Amita, he can't eat Kachin, and we're going to wait until, you know, come back after Purim, and we'll talk about it then. Either way, Zokti Gemara Vayta, Tamon Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Mayit Kotten, first Mishnah Mayit Kotten, Mashke Meis HaShlochen, you're allowed to water a field that's a Beis HaShlochen, that's a field that relies on irrigation, meaning it doesn't sustain itself merely with rainwater, but it requires some human intervention in order for it to survive. So the halach is you're allowed to water such a field on mayit katan. You're allowed to water it on chol hamayit. Umitzayin and ala kfaris. Additionally, any kfarim that it's not clear where the cave is, that's something you're allowed to do on chol hamayit as well. Freit gemara, lo kfar tzinu me'ada, didn't they take care of it? Nah, they're right. Presumably this was negeya chol hamayit Pesach, not chol hamayit Sukkis. Chol hamayit Sukkis is after the summer. Everything is great. Chol hamayit Pesach is after the winter. So Mitzayin and ala kfaris. They had to make sure the kfarim, the tombstones, everything was in place. Oh, but Freit gemara, they took care of it already during Chodesh Adar. So why are they doing it again? So the gemara says, v'tiftar, you can answer, sheyarat shetav shal shalom. It's talking about that. After they took care of it, all of a sudden it rained and these were massive downpours, and as a result, they had to do it again. Kamash mulan, that you're allowed to redo it on chol hamayit. Chol hamayit is a day that you're allowed to do it. Even though you're not allowed to do certain malacha on chol hamayit, but this is something you can do. The Mishnah Mayit Katan also says v'yoytz enaf ala kalayim, that you're allowed to go out and attend to kalayim. Faith gemara like for yotzav ader. The Mishnah said already they did it during Chodesh Adar. So why are you doing it again? Tiftar. The answer is shayis hashana fei. Let's talking about where they went out during Chodesh Adar. They couldn't tell yet if there was kalayim. Why? Because all the crops were taking a little bit longer to develop. They not smalchem nikarim mevela. They didn't do it when they were supposed to do it, when they tried to do it. So there's a plan B. Let's do it a little bit later. Now it's chol hamayit. Could you or can you not? Zok the Mishnah in the beginning of Mayit Katan. This is something that you're allowed to do. So we mentioned the halacha metzainin as hakvarim, zok de gemari minayin letzion. So clearly Talmud Yerushalmi digresses just as much, if not more than Talmud Bavli. So minayin letzion, and how do you know that there's an idea to be metzainin as hakvarim? How do you know it's important that if there's a mace buried, you have to make sure there's a tombstone of some sort? Now, the idea of this tombstone is not to write nice things on it. This is not hakamas matzeva, poi nitman, hai gavir rabba, in alphabetical order. That's not what this is about. What this is about is simply to know that there's a mace, to know that there's a source of tumma over here, so that a Kayin or Tyrus are going to be. So how do you know that from a pure tumma perspective, this is a critical thing? Zok Tegmar Rabrechya said in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Bas Yaakov, who was the son of the daughter of Yaakov, the grandson of Yaakov, B'shem Rab Chunya de Vras Chavron, who said this in the name of Rab Chunya, who came from the city Bras Chavron. So Bras Chavron is the city. Rab Yosi Amar Lavi said B'shem Rab Yaakov Bar Acha B'shem Rab Chunya de Bras Chavron. Rab Chizki Rab Uziel Bereid Rab Chunya de Beis Chavron B'shem Rab Chunya de Beis Chavron. Bottom line, what was the halacha? V'tomei tomei yikra. It says this regarding the Mitzayra. What do we learn from here? V'tomei tomei yikra. K'dei sh'tei atum a'kayru l'cha b'fia v'ymeres l'cha p'rash. The tum itself is supposed to yell out at you. We learn from here halacha that when the Mitzayra becomes tomei, the tumah should shry and should say, ich bin tomei, and as a result, keep a certain distance. So says the Gemara, that's the makar to etzion, that the tumah is the mace. So on top of the mace, you put this tombstone, a tzion, and that's what the idea of the tzion is. V'tomei tomei yikra, it's going to call out to you to tell you this tumah over here. So make sure you stay away. Rav Ila b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Nachman v'avru ha'ivrim ba'aretz v'ra etzam adam uvana etzloi tzion at kavru oisei ha'mekabrin el gei ha'moyim goyim. So this is a pasuk in Yechezkel Perek Lamedtes. The context is the end of days. Melchemes Goygu Magan. And the pasuk says, V'avru ha'ivrim ba'aretz, the Oivrim are going to pass through the land. V'ra etzem adam, and they're going to see the bone of a person. Ubana etzloi tzion. And they're going to build a tzion. Zok de Gemara, etzem, from the word etzem, yikanshem etzayin ala tzamis. You see from here that even if there's only a bone of a mace, it doesn't have to be a full mace, just the bone of a mace, as long as it's enough bone that it's mitame, then the halach is, you already have an obligation to do tzion. So what's the shear of a bone? So it's a roiv hakav, or roiv minyan, roiv binyan, these are sugis in the end of Masechta's Nazir. Masechta's Halos, of course. But the halach is that if you have a shear of atzomis, that's metama, that's enough for you to have an obligation now to v'tomei tomei yikra. Adam, from the fact that it says Adam, yikanshem etzainen ala shedra v'ala gulgoylus. Even if you have just the shedra, the spine, and the gulgoylus, that's the skull of the mace, that's enough also for you to be metame. In theory, that could have been maybe included in etzem, but we have a special drasha for that. Ubana mikancha metzayin al gavi evan kavua. We learn from there that you can't just put a rock there and write it on the rock. It has to be kavua. It has to be literally in the ground. Why? Says the Yerushalmi, very simple. Because im oimer at al gabi evan tlusha. Because if you're going to put it on an evan tlusha, on an evan that's detached from the ground, after you lach some time, what's going to happen if there's a windy day? You can have a ruach she'ina metzuya, and it's not going to be there anymore. So obviously, it has to be kavua. If it's kavua, that's the way it works. Etzloi. So the pasuk said uvana etzloi tzion. It's an interesting word. Etzloi. Should put it on top of it. Why etzloi? No, the makom tayra. You're supposed to not put it on top of it. Because if you put it on top of it, it's going to be too late. Right? You're going to bump into a rock. You're going to look down. Oh, this place is tame. Well, it's late. You need a little bit of distance. So what you should do is etzloi. That's where you're supposed to put the matzeva. Tzion. What do we learn from tzion? The halacha mikan letzion. That's obviously teaching us the halacha that you have to have a tzion. Zog de Gemara. Another braisa that discusses these halachas. Matzah evan achas metzuyenes. If somebody finds an evan, a stone, and there was some sid, some lime, there was something on top of it that's trying to tell you that there's a mason over here. So the halacha is afal pishen ein mekaimin kein. Even though we said that really the stone is supposed to be put etzloi, meaning it's not supposed to be literally on top of the mace, it's supposed to be etzloi. But if you're walking and you see a rock, you have to assume that maybe underneath this rock there's a mace. So if you were malola, if you walked on top of it, you're going to be tummy tumas mace, tumas oil. Why? Because I'm afraid that maybe there's a mace underneath. Let's say there were two of these rocks, so then that looks a malola and tar. Then you're tar. Because then we assume the person probably got it right. I mean, it's not pshat, there's two rocks because there's two mason underneath the two rocks. No, probably this person's following the halacha, two rocks. Both of them are etzloi. Where's the tuma? Probably in between. That's the way of telling the world that in between there's a little bit of an issue. So if somebody walks on top of them, he's going to be tar. Ubeinayim tell me, if somebody walks between them, he's going to be tar. Mayuchayresh beintayim. Let's say there were two rocks, and in between the two rocks, someone was chayresh. Meaning there was a telem. You're doing some work in the field. So it doesn't look like there's a caver there. Therefore, harein kichidiyoy. So we look at them as two individual rocks. What's the halach of two individual rocks? Each one we assume has a mace. And the area between is tar. Beineim tar. Val gabeim. On top of each one of them is going to be tami. Tami. Another halach. Imit sayin ala basa. Even though we just said you make it tzion for atzomois, but for basa or not. So let's say we have basa of a mace. Even though basa of a mace is metama. Kizayis basa min a mace is metama. Just like roi v'atzomois of a mace is metama. Kizayis basa min a mace is also metama. But if you have basner of a mace, the halach is you don't put a tzion on top of that. Why? Shemin esak la basner. Because at some point, this basner is going to decompose to the point where it's not going to be there anymore. So what are you going to do? You're going to put a matzeva there, and now la'ilam vod, there's always going to be a concern that maybe there was tumah there. It's not gishmak. So instead, we'll live dangerously. During the little bit of time that this basner there, yeah, maybe it could be a little bit of an issue is going to come out, but we're focusing on the bigger picture. The bigger picture is don't put something that people are going to think is tummy. We really, there's no tumma. Right, what's the problem? You may end up burning truma and titus. You're going to think there was tumma, that there really wasn't. It was there for a short amount of time. That some ways are going to be there for a while. But this really is not. Rabbi Yusta Bar Shunem, Bayukumi Ramona. He asked the following question to Ramona. You know what I mean? Even Basar, there's going to be a little bit of time where there's going to be a problem. He told him, what we just said. By not putting the tzion, in the short term, you may have a little bit of a situation, but at least looking long term, you're going to end up being in a much better place. Zakt, the Mishnah, Viter, what's known as halacha beis, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says again. The Mishnah said that a rosh chodesh adam ashmir al ashkalim ve'al akelayim. Said the Mishnah ubechamisha aser bo yoytzin af al akelayim. So rosh chodesh adam, there was a ramko vayaviru kol be Yehuda that said you have to go outside into your fields, take a look and see if there's kelayim, and if there is, deal with it. On the 15th day, they actually went and took matters into their own hand. There was a vata kalayim, and they made sure that everybody was behaving. Okay, so now they're going around to the fields, Bezdin, Shluchimar, and they see kalayim. Now what? What do they do? So Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says that it used to happen one way, and then it changed. This is another Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, in a Mishnah that's telling us a Maisa Shahaya. So he says, Barishayna, in the olden days, what they would do is if they saw kalayim, so they would rip the kalayim out of the field and they would leave it in the field. But then when there were a lot of over avera, they would rip it out and they would throw it onto the roads. And then they made a takon and they said that no, the whole field is going to become afkir. So there were three phases in terms of what exactly the shluchim used to do. Phase one, meaning in the beginning of time, they would go to the field, they would see the kalayim, they would rip it out, and they would put it on the field. Then later, they said, that's not a good idea. Instead, let's throw it into the road. Then they said, even that's not a good idea. Let's simply make it hefker. See, what happened was, the oilam was very happy. Why? They had free work, free labor. Oh, Bezin's going to rip it out. Why should I do it? They were helping them clean their field up. And actually, they had enough of the kalayim. They were feeding their animals. They left it there on the ground. This was like a perfect deal. Happened, and they would dafka wait for Bezin to come around to do the work for them. So then what they would do is they would throw it onto the rats. Now, they weren't as happy because they didn't have both simchis. But at the same time, one simcha they did have. At the end of the day, they just weeded their field for them. It's on the road. Okay, it's a little bit of a tercha, but it's a bigger tercha to actually have to do the work in the field. Then they said, all right, the joke's on you. It's going to be hefker. A hefker, now they weren't so happy anymore. And that actually was something that was preventative, and that's how it all evolved in Rabbi Yehuda's Mishnah, where they did it this way, then they did it that way, and then eventually they did it in a way where no one was going to be happy. So you see from the Mishnah an interesting halacha. Bezin has the ability to go and be mafker someone else's possessions. They went into people's fields and they literally made it all hefker. Right? That was the final phase of this halach of yoytzen ala kalayim. Says the Gemara, who gave Bezin the right? Who gave them the power and the authority to just go be mafker somebody else's field? Minayin shehefker Bezin hefker. How do you know that if Bezdin makes something hefker, it becomes hefker? Now we know a person has the ability to make something hefker. A person can be mafker his nechasim. But that Bezdin should be able to be mafker someone else's nechasim? Ain't the makna davashena shaloi, ain't the maknish davashena shaloi, ain't the mafker davashena shaloi. The Teretz is Bezdin has some superpower. Where do we know, what's the scriptural source to this idea that Bezdin has the superpower that they can make somebody else's possessions? It's all type of a pasuk and say for Ezra. It's a pasuk we've spoken about so many times over the years. But ein mikra yoytzim edepshuta. Ezra was trying to get the Yidden to gather. This is the beginning of Bayesheni, when the State of the Union wasn't good, and he's giving a chizik. And he says, everybody needs to be in the town square in 3 days. And whoever's not going to be there, Yachrim Kol Rechushai. He's going to forfeit, literally, we're going to confiscate all his property. Who gave Ezra the authority to confiscate his property? Oh, see from here, Hefke Bezin Hefke. Now the truth is, this Yerushalmi has a parallel Bavli in Mesechtes Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. And if you look in the Gemara there, the Gemara doesn't just bring one source that Hefker Bezdin Hefker, the Gemara brings a second source that Hefker Bezdin Hefker. And there's a lot of lumdis, the Rajba right there in Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, to say Nafkemino Isla Halacha between the two sources. So we're not going to talk about this morning, but one thing is clear. There are two Makaris that are brought in Bavli, Gittin Lamed Vav Amid Beis. There's major nafkaminas between the two Makaris. Dvarim Ha'imdim Berumah Shaloi L'mamish. And here we have a Yerushalmi that only picked one of the two sources, which then means that there's some major ramification from the fact that the Yerushalmi picked this source from Ezra as opposed to the other one that the Gemara talks about, Gittin Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. So okay, we now know that Hefke Bezin Hefke, but the Gemara asks a follow-up question, an interesting one. And that is, we know Hefke is Potem and a Meisters. So if I have something that's Hefke, I don't have to be Mafish, Trumas and Meisters. Well, narrowly, you have to give Trumas and Meisters. If it belongs to Hefke, you don't have to give Trumas and Meisters. Okay, Gemara, Minayin Shei Pturim and a Meisters. How do you know that if you have something that Bezdin was mafker? Hefker, Bezdin, hefker. The halachni is that not only is it hefker that somebody can take it, but me, the owner, now doesn't have to be mafish, trumas, and meisters. How do you know that hefker, Bezdin, hefker works to the degree that there's no chi of trumas and meisters? Ok, the Gemara, Rabbi Yenis, and Rabbi Yitzchak, Baruch Hashem, Olam, and Ado. He said, I know from the following b'raisa. Sometimes we have a leap year. We have an ibiyar. But the Paraisa says, L'katchilo, you should never be ma'aber a Shemitah year, and you should never be ma'aber the year after Shemitah. V'im ibruah, and if you did, ha'reizim me'uberes. But the Yevet, it's going to be okay, says the Gemara. V'chodesh echashu moisiv. Now, if you're going to go ahead, and you're going to add to the Shemitah year, like Platim and Meisrusu, you're going to end up having a problem with Meisrus. Why? Because anything that now gets pushed off, is going to be assumed to be part of Shemitah, and there's no Chiyuv Trumas and Maisers on Shemitah. So it comes out then that by Bezdin B'diyevet, not like a Chil, they're not supposed to do it, but B'diyevet, them having the ability to be Ma'abra a Shemitah year, essentially that means they have the power to say that something should be Potter from Maisers. That means Hefke Bezdin Hefke, they have a right to say that it should be Potter from Maisers. So the Braisa was brought to teach us the halacha that Hefke Bezdin Hefke has the ability even to exempt from Maisers. Once we mentioned the Braisa, so we're going to talk a little bit about the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Nicho Shvias. I understand why the Katchilo, you don't add a month to a Shemitah year. Why? Because Shemitah is not an easy year. So you can add another year to Shemitah. Everything's Hefker. They can run out of things. You're not allowed to work in the field. So it doesn't make sense to be Ma'abra Shemitah. My Tzor Shvias, my. Why can't you push off the year after Shemitah? So the Gemara says a simple reason as well. Amar Bun or Rav Bun Shalei L'Rabbis Be'Issa Chadash. The reason is, we don't want to add another month until the Issa Chadash. Because the year after Shemitah is also a problem here. Because the year before, you couldn't do any work. So what are you relying on? You're relying on the sixth year. But ain't Saim Chanel Anes. So at the same time, that next year is also a problem. Okay, so what's the issue? You're allowed to work that next year. Yeah, the problem is you're not allowed to eat from the Tfu HaChadosh until you bring the Karban Omer. See, yeah, because it's going to be Chadosh. So if you're going to be Ma'abra the year, which month are you going to push off? Adar. So you're going to make a second Adar, which means you're going to push off the Heter to eat from the new crops another month. You're going to have to be relying on the bracha from the sixth year. We don't do that. And as a result, you don't push off the Shemitah year. That's simple. And you also don't push off the year after because you're delaying the ability to eat from the new crops because you can't bring the Karban Omer because Chodesh Nisan is not going to be for another month. Rav Zira B'Shem Rebbe Loza Hado'ata Omar. He said, all this that we said that you're not supposed to be Ma'abra Shemitah year was actually here to Rebbe L'Havi Yarek Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz. That was until Rebbe allowed people to bring vegetables from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Now we know that once upon a time, Chutz La'aretz was considered Tameh. Today it's also considered Tameh, but today it doesn't really matter. Once upon a time, it really mattered. So you live in Eretz Yisrael, you can live in Kedusha V'Tayah, you go to Chutz La'aretz, you can be Tameh. Chazal were Goyzer Tumah on Eretz Ha'am. It happened circa Churban Bayis Sheni, around that time. But Chazal were Goyzer Tumah. Which means that if somebody wanted to bring food from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, it was going to be a challenge, because the food is presumed to be Tameh. It comes along with the gush, with the dirt in the ground, and you can end up having issues. Rebbe, however, at some point in history said it's okay. You can bring food from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. That was a very, very convenient, in the sense it really helped Yidden, because sometimes there were hungers, people are starving. Oh, so you can bring food from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. That's a big milo. So the Gemara says, this that we said there's an issue, you don't be Ma'abra Shemitah year. That was before Rebbe. Avol, Mishahit, Rebbe, L'Havi Yark, Chutz La'aretz to Eretz. But once Rebbe said that you can bring vegetables from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, he shviyas, he shall shal shnei shavu. There's no difference in Shemitah and any other year. Because at the end of the day, what are you worried about? Shemitah is going to be pushed off another year. You're not going to have food. You will have food. You can bring food from Chutz La'aretz. Amar Rabmona. Rabmona added to this. He said this, that the Braisa said that you're not supposed to be Ma'abed the year after Shemitah. Da'at Amar Barishayna. This is only true also in the beginning days. Shahayu Hashanim Kisiknon. When things knacked. What does it mean, a knacked? In this context, what it means is they used to bring the Karban Omer on Tezai and Nisan. So pushing off the Issan Chodesh, another month, has 30 days of real food, real life ramifications. But nowadays, that very often, they anyways couldn't bring the eat, well, they brought the carbon, but they anyways couldn't eat from the Tfu HaChadosha on Tezai and Nisan. Why not? Because the crops weren't ready anyways. So he might say, Shvias, Hisha, Shash, Ne, Shavua. There's no reason to have. So these halachas were in place once upon a time, but for specific reasons. Once the reason was batal, so then the halacha became batal as well. Tani, Shabbos, Rabbi Gamaliel, Ebruba, Maitzoy, Shvias, Miyah. The family of Rabbi Gamaliel, they used to be Ma'aber the year after Shemitah. Not only that, they would put it in stone, literally. They would already notify the world right after, in the beginning of Mitzvah Shvias, which is Chodesh Tishrei, already at then, they would let everybody know. Amar Rav Abun, in min hadol les at shoma mino klum. Why are we discussing this? Because we were discussing the halacha that hefker bezdin hefker. You see in our Mishnah, that yotze nafal ha-klaim, sometimes they would be mafker people's fields. We saw that not only hefker bezdin hefker, but they can even make the hefker patam in a maizu. How do you know that? I said, I have a makar. The makar is they can push off Shemitah and extra month. That has maizus implications. Vaistois, that's something you can do. Zok to Gemara, no, you have no raya. Rab Obin sen in min hadol les at shomer mino klom. In English, you have no raya from here. Why not? Shomer is chodesh ha'aviv, shoim reyu b'chidusha. Because the fact that Bezdin has the right to be ma'abed Hashan is a dindai raisa. It's a special halacha. It has nothing to do with hefker bezdin hefker. Ibur Shana is a special koyach. Bezdin has to do it. Why we ma'aber the Shana? It's because we have to make the lunar and the solar years coincide. One is 354 days, other is 365 days, which means every 3 years they get up, they're off. And Chodesh Nisan always has to be Chodesh Adav. It has to be nice weather outside. It has to be during the spring. And to coincide everything, to make it all shtim, what we do is we're ma'aber the Shana. But that kayach that Bezdin has to be ma'aber the Shana is way beyond Hefker Bezdin. Hefker, and that's why you have no raya from here. Zokti Gemara, v'haido amardo, which in English means that even if you have no raya, that Hefker Bezdin Hefker means potem and amaisris from Shvias of a chaban under a raya. From here we do have a raya. God is shaloi luka tachtov kol anoiges ba'aretz harei hein shani. So the context over there is the halach of leket. Leket is certain matnas anir. So there's certain things that have to remain in the field. Now, leket has to be exposed to the anir. What happens if you would go and you would cover the leket with your bundles of zangin or whatever it is you have in your field? So that's a problem. And there was a machlokes tanaim how we address this problem. So if you have a godish shaloi lukat that wasn't taken, so the halach is kol anoiges ba'aretz harei hein shani. The knas is that anything that's touching the ground, even more than the leket, is going to belong to the ani. You covered up the leket, guess what? Joke's on you. Everything that's touching the ground automatically belongs to the ani. Rav Ami said, B'shem Rav Shimon ben Lakish, the Beis Shammai. This is going according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai holds that if you could be mafker something for certain people, hefker la'aniyim hefker. Basil says no. Hefker means it's hefker to everybody. Ikim Beis Nilo, aniyim oichlin u'ma'asrin. So according to Beis Shammai, you have an ability to say that everything that's on the ground is going to be hefker, hefker bez and hefker, and only for aniyim. According to Beis Hillel, there's no such thing. Because according to that Beis Hillel, there's no such thing as having something hefker only for a certain group of people. Rabbi Yossi said no. Shamanu shu patim imayis adivri hakol mishum knasa. That it's going to be hefker, not only according to Beis Shammai, even according to Beis Hillel. This is a special exception to the rule. Here it's a knas, and we said that this is going to be hefker. But what's the point? We just need one thing. This hefker over here is patim imayis. Rabbi Yossi said it, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said it. We're talking about hefker that's pater mi maisa, not just hefker. It's pater mi maisa. See, from here, hefker, bezdin hefker, make something pater min ha maisa. So we now return to the regular program, which is shkolim. Zok de mishneh vayter, halacha gimel, b'chamisha asaboy, the 15th day of Adar, shulchanos hayosh v'mdin. So ba'echa ba'adam ashmin ala shkolim. We know what that means. On the 15th day of Adar, there were shulchanos, as in a shulchani. Shulchani is a money changer. Why was he called a shulchani? Because he sat by a table. Very simple. But they used to sit at tables and there's money, they're exchanging shekels for dollars. Right? That's basically what it is. So on the 15th day of Adar, the shulchanis used to sit in Yerushalayim. Be'etzer mechamisha, yashv mikdash. On the 25th day, they would sit in the harabayas. The reason there was a need for money changers is because somebody's coming with zlotas, he's coming with rubles, he's coming with pesos, you know, whatever exactly his currency is. So you need to swap it out. You need to know. First, you don't know the cheshbin of what the exchange rate is. So there were shulchani, there were professionals that this is what they did. So on the 15th day of Adar, all over Yerushalayim, you had all these shulchanis. And then on the 25th day, they brought them to the harabayas. Because now it's already time, shoshan tzeit. So you can't just be in somewhere in Yerushalayim. No, you want to change it now? So now you're going to have to go to the Arabayas because it's already time to make the payment. Mishiyash for the Mikdash, another halacha. Once the shulchan, he stood at sat at the base of Mikdash, eschilo the mashkin. They would start taking a mashkin. Meaning now at this point, you weren't just going to be requested kindly to, you know, submit your payment. Now they start going after you. They take a mashkin. Really? You don't want to give the machzah shekel? We're going to take your horse. And when it's time to, when you give your machzah shekel, we're going to return it. It's fine. You know, we could do this the easy way. We could do this the hard way. So the hardball started happening on the 25th day of Adar. It's me and Mashkin. Okay, so who did they go after? This is a very important halacha. Levim, the Yisraelim, the Geirim, the Avodim Mishuchrorim, Avaloi Noshim, the Avodim Uktanim. So they didn't force an anisha or an eved or a katan to have to give the machzah shekel. Let's say there was a father who decided that he wants to be mechanech his son, he's going to give machzah shekel on behalf of his son. That's wonderful. Tavei olav bracha. However, shuvenei paisach. Once you do it, you start. You have to continue doing it. Even though he's not obligated to it, doesn't matter. Ein b'mashkin as a kehanim. Additionally, they didn't take a mashkin from the kehanim, but that's for a different reason. They darkei shalom. The Gemara will explain. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, hey, ben buchri b'yav. Ben Bukhri said, Eidus in Yavna. Kol koyin sheshoykel eni chayt. If a koyin wants to give machzah shekel, he can't. I mean, it's not an aveira for a koyin to give machzah shekel. Would have been a havamina, ben benoishel havamina, that a koyin can't do it. Kamash Malon, Kol Koin Sheshogaleni Choyte. Omle Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai. Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai said, no, Loiki, Ela, Kol Koin Sheenoi Shoykel Choyte. Just the opposite. A Koin that doesn't give the Machzis HaShekel, the Alachni is, he's considered a Choyte. Meaning, a Koin has to give the Machzis HaShekel. Rabbi Yehuda said, a Koin that Shoykel is not Choyte. Sounds like he doesn't have to give Machzis HaShekel. In fact, you would have thought maybe he can't. If he does, Enei Choyte. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said, no, I see this differently. Rather, what I see is a Koyin that doesn't give the Machzis HaShekel, Choyte. The Halach is he's going to be a Choyte, meaning a Koyin has to give Machzis HaShekel. Ella, stating that, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I'll tell you something interesting. Shakyanim Doshim Mikuz Alatzman. The Koyhanim used to darshan the following pasuk for themselves. It says in the Torah, V'chol Minchas Koyin, Kol Oti Eloi Seyach. So one of the types of karbanos is a Mincha. A Mincha was mirrored a regular carbon. Even though it's not a carbon, there's no blood, there's no shechita, but it mirrored a carbon. Every carbon had a chelik of it that went on the mizbeach. Mincha also had a chelik of it that went on the mizbeach. The chelik of a carbon was the emurim, certain chalavim, certain fats. As it relates to a mincha, it was the kaimitz. The kaimitz was the part of the carbon that went on the mizbeach. A kayin's mincha was unique. A kayin's mincha didn't mirror a regular carbon, it mirrored the carbon oiva. The carbon oila, all the basa went on the mizbeach. The minchas koyin also completely went on the mizbeach. The chol minchas koyin kolil tiye loy seyach. Where does it say kolil in the Torah? By an oila. An oila was also kolil. So too, the mincha the koyin was a kolil. So, said Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, the koyhanim came with a lamda shetayna. They hired a good attorney. And they came up with a loophole for how to get out of give him Machzis HaShekel. They said like this, we have a little bit of a problem. You know what? Some of the Karbanos Tzibur that's going to be financed by the Machzis HaShekel are Menachos. The Oimer was the Minchas HaOimer. The Shtei HaLechem was also a Mincha. The Lechem HaPanim. Now, these are Menachos. If we're going to have a Chelik in it, Heich Nechalim, you're going to be able to eat it. Because it says in the Torah, Minchas Koyin Kol, Eloi Seyach. So how can we partake in the Machzis HaShekel? You want us to give Machzis HaShekel? The minute we're a shareholder, there's a din in the Torah that says, Minchas Koyin Eloi Seyach. So the Kayana put up a fight with a lamda shetayna. We can't partake in the Machzis HaShekel. Because if we partake in the Machzis HaShekel, you're messing up all the menachis. So Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai said, no, Koyin has to give Machzis HaShekel. It was straight avada. Of course he has to give Machzis HaShekel. You want to know why there's rumors that this was the Kayhanim's own doing? They came up with a good geshmak atayna. They said, well, if we're going to get Machzis HaShekel, you're messing up all the menachas. But the truth is, it's not true. Either way, it's a fascinating Mishnah, a Mishnah that's quoted in Bavli, Ki Yodua, and the Gemara is going to discuss it a little bit. Ein menashkinin esaknan. This Gemara, we're not going to have got laid early. So we're not going to have time to speak out the raid that's sitting on the table. So Master Shem will have to speak this out on Daf Dalid. We'll be a little bit shorter. It's a long Daf. But at the very least, we're going to prime our way now for the raid. This next Gemara is important. So the said, Eim mashkin es haktanim. It sounds like, holit foya toivin. Right, what did Mishnah say? 25th day of Adar, they used to take mashkoinois. They didn't just ask for the money anymore. Now they actually used force. So they would go and they would request collateral and do what needed to be done. However, there were certain people that they didn't take the mashkin from. Lo noshnim, not avodim, and not ketanim. Now, it sounds like they weren't the mashkin from a katan, but the initial kind request was made even from the katan. Zokti gemara, other tema, this must be b'shehevi shtei Cyrus. This must be not a real katan, but really someone that already has shtei Cyrus, who we know is bar mitzvah. We'll explain this in a second. Avalim loy hevi shtei Cyrus, but if the katan's a real katan, he's 11 years old, for example, loy. Then the halacha is not that way, bidah. Meaning, the din is not going to be that we even request. Ulam mashkin, okay, when are we mashkin? Meaning, if someone that has shtei Cyrus is a katan, then when do you become a gadol? Anshiye ben Esrim. That happens when you turn 20 years old. In other words, what emerges from the Gemara is that there's three stages in the life of a katan. As it relates to Machzis HaShekel, there's a katan, that's a regular katan, he's potter from Machzis HaShekel, he's potter from all mitzvahs. Then there's who the Mishnah refers to as a katan, that's really a gadol. He has shtei Cyrus, he's a bar mitzvah boy already, but he's not 20 years old. Him with toiveya, but we don't force. Once somebody turns 20 years old, then we already force him. There's a big discussion in the Rav Bar Tanura, the Tosfos Yontif, the Teklan Chadatin. Everybody is a little bit confused. There's also Gersoyis issues, as you can tell. What exactly Pashup Shat in this Gemara means. But we'll learn Pashup Shat with the Teklan Chadatin because this seems to be the going Pshat. And that is, read it inside. Dibra Maskel, Ulam Mashkin, Eme Mashkin, Achiei Ben Chav. It's the second wide line. The Shalish Chilukim Medavar comes out. There's three phases in the life of a katan. Katan Shloi Hevi Shtei Stairis Ain Toiv Noisei. Nothing. Hevi Beisairois Toiv Noisei Shenaseba Bar Chiyuv. Derabon Avaleim Emashkin. Once he has two Cyrus, here's the punchline. Now he's obligated midrabanan. Okay, but only midrabanan. And being that it's only midrabanan, we're not going to force him. Nasa ben Esrim, once he turns 20, the oz nasa bar chiyuva deiraisa. Now he's chaya midairaisa. Kedichsiv. How do you know that? Where does this number 20 come from? Oh, it's a pasuk in the Torah, Parshas Kisisa. Who had to give the machsa shekel? Kaloiver al pikudim. Once you were 20 years old. Kedichsiv mi ben Esrim shana ulamailo. So then already the aloch is af memashkin and oisai. But it comes out from the way the taklan chadatin and azayis mashra from the Rav Bartanura and the Taisus Yontif. That is that only someone that's 20 years old was obligated midai raisa to give the machza shekel. So this is a very rare halacha, a trivia question. This is a mitzvah that's negeya, but it's not something that's tali in bar mitzvah, but at the same time, it's tali in age. The age is not 13, the age is 20. So when somebody turns 20, it's chayim midai raisa. Meaning, Pasha, you could have learned the Gemara just to bring out the chiddush of the way the Taklan Chadatin and others are learning the Gemara. Is that a vada you become chai when you're bar mitzvah? You're chai midei rais when you're 13. It's a special halacha in Ein Memashkin in Oisai that we don't force you when you're 13. Why? I don't know. I'm not sure. But the point is that the chiyuv is bar mitzvah. Every mitzvah you have to do when you become bar mitzvah. Since when do you have a halacha that the mitzvah midei rais starts at a certain age that's not 13, that's 20? It's a chiddush naira to have such a halacha. So, but this is an example of that. So once you turn 20, that's when the mitzvah deiraisa is chal. Zok the Gemara. Keni masnisa. The Mishnah said that we're also not mamashkin from the Kayanim. And the reason the Mishnah said we're not mamashkin from the Kayanim was mipnei darkei shalom. So if darkei shalom sounds like we're worried that a fight is going to break out. So the Gemara clarifies, it's not really what it is. Wait, if the Kehanim are going to fight, that's not the point. It's not covet. And the reason it's not covet is v'kidashtoi. There's an thing you have to treat a Kayin differently, and as a result, v'kidashtoi, you don't go and schlep money away from a Kayin. So pasnish, this is not something that you're supposed to do. Now the same diak, the Gemara said that it sounds like ein memashkin, right? We don't force the Kayin, but if the Kayin really, but we're teveya the kohen, and it sounds like really the kohen is obligated to partake in the machzas hashekel. And the truth is, the sefer of the Mishnah discussed it, and the sefer of the Mishnah really brought that it was a major machloikis. Rabbi Yehuda said edus in the name of Ben Bukhri. Ben Bukhri was in Yavne. That's where the Yidden went after Churban Vayasheni. And in Yavne, Ben Bukhri testified and said that a kohen is not obligated to give machzas hashekel. If he does, he's not a choyte. But it's not something that he's obligated to do. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was in Ben Bukhri, he was the Mara D'Asra in Ben Bukhri, he told Ben Bukhri, Amaloi, he's not talking to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yehuda was later. He's talking to Ben Bukhri, and he told him, Loi ki, no, it's a mistake, your edus. A kohen is obligated to give machzas hashekel. So we have a machlekes over here, whether a kohen is obligated to give machzas hashekel, or he's not obligated to give machzas hashekel. Rabbi Brachia said, "Time to Rabbi Yechim Zake." Rabbi Yechim Zake that said a coin is obligated to give machzah shekel. He learned it out from the pasuk in Parshas Kisiso. Ze yitnu kolo ivra la pikudim. Ze shnei masa shvatim yitnu. It was begematria 12. So this is an example of a halacha that we learn out from a gematria. And there are halachas that are learned out from gematria. Stam nazirus lamid yoyim is learned out from a gematria. Kodesh yia is begematria 30. And this is an example of where you have a halacha that's learned out from a gematria. So at the end of Pesachim, we spoke out some primius atayr from the Chasam Sofer, Kuf Tzadik Ches, and all the different gematrias that have come up recently. But here you have halachas that are learned out from gematria. So gematria falls under the category of remes, and pshat, remes, soid, and drush. And certain halachas are mirumaz, right? They're hinted to in different ways. One of those ways is a gematria. So this is a halacha that Ben Brachia said was the Makarta of Yechir Ben Zakkai. Zeh shnei masa shvatim yitnu. It means 12 shvatim. The point of 12 shvatim is ganz klal Yisrael. Every single year had an obligation of